Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Mare with us. So Mare, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much, Letitia. First of all, I have to begin by saying it's a pleasure to be here. And yes, as you introduced, I am Mare. I'm a grief coach. And my life took a transformative turn 5 years ago after the loss of my husband due to sudden cardiac arrest. And I'm an entrepreneur whose life took a turn after he died. But beneath all these titles, I'd say, Letitia, I'm just a fellow human being who's trying to figure out the best way to navigate life after loss.
I understand that. I recently lost my grandmother. That was the closest death that I've experienced. And life is completely different in her absence. So I would love to hear your story to and through survival mode.
Yeah. Like I said, things changed for me the moment when he passed away, my husband, because it was not just the loss of a person, it was the shattering of the life I knew and the future we dreamed of, the sense of identity I had built around being his partner. Because, well, if I'm being open here, I'll say that grief just didn't knock on my door. It bulldozed through every part of my being. And in the months that followed, I couldn't sleep properly, couldn't eat like I used to. Even the basic things like, replying to texts, that felt overwhelming. And that was a time when I was surrounded by people, yet I felt so lonely. You know, it was like walking through the world wearing an invisible cape of grief. I mean, no one could see how heavy it was. And eventually, I did hit a point where I realized that I wasn't living. I was surviving, like barely. But it was like taking days off, barely being present, being emotionally numb, and I'd say pouring all my energy into looking functional. Yeah. And the thing is that if I talk about survival mode, the thing is that for a while I convinced myself that I was strong for not breaking down. Yeah, that was definitely a thing I did. Because you know what? Even when I saw my husband's dead body in the hospital, Leticia, I went numb. I went silent, as opposed to what everyone thought I would react. Like everyone thought I would be like, you know, this crying and wailing person. But I went into shock. And today I know exactly what happened. My mind went into emotional paralysis because basically it was trying to shelter me from the magnitude of the tragedy that had befallen me and my children. So this is exactly what was happening. And I was numb. I was in shock, and I was in denial at some levels also. And this thought in my mind was just to keep going on. But the thing is that strength does not necessarily have to mean suppression, you know? I was suppressing everything. I kept busy, I overfunctioned, and it was like, you know, I was carrying my grief like a soldier wears an armor. Till Letitia, it started crushing me like literally after a year after my husband's death. When I say it was where I was wearing an armor made of steel, it was exactly that because I started developing this severe cough that wasn't going away. And when I got it checked, the doctor said that you have stress-induced asthma. So this is exactly what was happening both on the physical and the emotional level. And by this time, I had started noticing how disconnected I felt from my body because I wasn't breathing deeply. I mean, I was literally living from the neck up. I was emotionally exhausted. I was out of, I'd say, yeah, all kinds of these feelings that you have for certain things in life, like numbness and I don't know, bringing myself to the level where I was not feeling anything. I was just, let's say, floating through everything, through every day, through every experience. That was the time when I started questioning the stories I was telling myself about grief, about healing, about what it meant to keep going. Because I was trying my best to be there for my children. I have three kids because they were looking up to me after this whole tragedy. And I was the only parent that they were left with. So I had to make a series of small, tender choices. Choices that will let me be seen in my grief. And the thing is, there were certain points at that time when I realized that it's okay to seek support. And that's not everybody, by the way. That is definitely not everybody, because when you are grieving, that is, well, as life really teaches us some lessons. So one of those is that in difficult times, in times like these, you do realize who your real friends are. And yeah, so that is the time sometimes when the people you think that, you know, oh, they will always be there because I will always be there for them. But when the time comes, well, the faces are completely different. There are a lot of disappointments. Yeah, that happened with me also. And there are very pleasant surprises also. Some people just turn up out of the blue, and you're like, oh my God, I never realized they care about us so much. So this is all what happens when you are grieving, when you are in survival mode, when you're clueless about what this journey is, that you know, all of a sudden your life has changed and you find yourself in experiences that you have never heard of before, never thought of before, and yet here you are.
How did you manage to find some normality through your grief, right? Because you said a year on, you were living from the neck up, right? You were just existing. You were existing as probably half a shell of yourself because you were so numb. So what did that process look like? Obviously, it's going through the grief, those stages of grief.
Absolutely.
But what did taking control of your life look like again?
One jolt, as I would call it, Leticia, was definitely that time when I started experiencing physical discomforts. Like my health started deteriorating, and I was like, okay, yeah, whatever I'm feeling mentally and emotionally, that's it, and no one can see it. That's just between me and however I'm going through it, managing it. But when it's starting to disrupt my health in a way that it hinders me to function as a normal person, then that was the point that I thought, yeah, this is getting serious now. And one of the big ideas that came up for me during all this time is that grief is not a problem to solve, it's a reality to tend to. When I started realizing this, I would say that what I call a moment of transformation, definitely I had that very moment when I realized that, you know, what are you doing? Get up, wake up. If he is gone and you are left behind, because for the longest time I used to keep questioning this thing that why did he go? Why did I go? Why am I left behind? Why do I have to deal with all this thing alone and everything? But the thing is that these whys, we can go on and on about this extended list of whys. We're never going to find answers. So the first thing, and one of the hardest things, Ladisha, is acceptance, especially when you have faced grief. Acceptance of the new reality that, you know, things are not what they used to be. Well, definitely, the domino effect was that person's leaving your life. But after that, the equation was it's unbalanced now. So to maintain that equilibrium again, you know, something has to change. And those changes will be the little things that you will change in yourself, starting from yourself. Looking for the answers within ourselves and then figuring out that what this new life is. Because in this new life, I have to be a different person because life is different. And true that I will never stop missing him and the emptiness, it will always be there. Nothing and no one will be able to fill that place. But this is a reality that I had to accept. And later on, this idea came into my mind, this thought that I have to become a grief coach because I have to be there for people who are passing through something similar. And they're clueless, like once I was, not knowing where to go from here, not knowing who to talk to, who to reach out to. So maybe if there is something that I can do to make someone feel a little bit better, then I'd say my job is done here. So these were the things that you know, these thoughts, they started coming in my mind, and I was like, okay, if I have to help others, what can be the way? How can I do this? I mean, what do I have to, how much work do I have to do on myself? Because I'd say I'm still healing, Letitia. I'm still in the process. And every client that I work with, I learn a number of few things in the process also. And I will always think that this process is going to remain as such because this is grief, what we are talking about. It's a universal emotion. Everyone faces it in their lifetime. And yeah, I am talking in the perspective of losing someone dear to you. Anything and everything, I mean, even the littlest of things that you can imagine, they can give you grief. I mean, what is grief? It's about that sadness and the feeling when you feel when something you had, it's no longer with you. It's as simple as that. But you know, the thing with grief is that it's not the most liked subject. People avoid it. People don't want to talk about it. People ignore it, keep the feelings bottled up. Because if I'm being honest here, Ladisha, the thing is that there is so much pressure, you know, to be okay in this world. Yeah. And especially after grief, to move on. The thing is, Ladisha, what we are grieving. What we are grieving is the part of us we were when that person was around, when that thing was around. Someone, something that was dear to us when they were in our life. How we used to behave, the version of us. We miss that. We grieve that because we're not going to see that again. But the thing is that we can discover new versions of ourselves because this is a human being. This is an individual we're talking about. So the possibilities are always endless. And grief definitely is love that has nowhere to go. It changes you, you know? It sharpens you, but all the while, at the same time, it softens you also. But what grief asks us, which we don't usually do, is to slow down.
Absolutely.
We need to give ourselves chance, time.
Time is everything. And I've seen memes where it says, the grief doesn't lessen. It's our ability over time to manage
Exactly.
it better. Now,
Exactly.
I'm going to come back to this quote because I had to write it down. I had to write it down. Grief
Okay.
is a problem, it's not a problem to solve. It's a reality to tend to.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so powerful, right? On this show, I've had people that's dealt with abuse and extreme loss, multiple cancers, childhood trauma. And all of it, when we are stuck in survival mode, feels like a problem. But when we shift and reframe it to a reality that we have to tend to, it seems less heavy. It seems less consuming, even though it does take a lot of work to move beyond that. You also spoke about acceptance. Listeners, if you've never heard me tell my story, I talk about the acceptance of me. Outside of my trauma, outside of the flaws that society might have applied to me, outside of the mistakes that I might have made or the decisions that I didn't make to avoid things, a huge part of healing, whether it's in grief, whether it's in survival mode, is just that, the acceptance. Now, for a lot of people, acceptance seems like a very difficult thing. How would you describe acceptance? Because I often think that people have that definition in relation to healing, mixed up.
Okay, Leticia, yeah, acceptance is definitely one of those words that people throw around a lot of context when they're talking about moving forward, their mental wellness, and also in terms of grief also, like almost like it's a finish line. But the thing is that in reality, I think acceptance is not about being okay with what happened. It's about stopping the fight against reality. If I talk about my experience, I'd say that I spent a long time trying to make sense of my husband's death. I mean, trying to rewrite the past. I mean, maybe I should have done this, I should have done that, I missed this, I missed that. So the thing is trying to rewrite the past in my head and asking why over and over again. But nothing changed except my exhaustion. So acceptance, it did not came with answers, like me trying to find answers. It came with surrender. It came with learning to sit with the fact that that loss is a part of my life now and always will be. And that doesn't mean that I have to like it. It doesn't mean that it's fair. It just means that I stopped resisting the truth of it. You know, like unclenching a fist I didn't know I was holding.
I
That's
loved how
acceptance.
you said that. Like, it's the surrender to. And that is the part, like somebody, I've had conversations and people are like, I will never accept that. And I'm like, acceptance isn't about being okay. It's not about approving, right? And I think that it, like, I think the definitions often get misconstrued. Like, if I accept something, I approve of it. Like, I am like, I approve this message. No, it's not about approving this message. It's about reckon the reconciliation that it won't change. right? Like, oftentimes we sit in denial, and denial is a huge part not only of grief, but I also think it's a huge part of our healing as well. Like, the healing journey, we sit in denial. So, if I'm sitting in denial about the actions that I've taken, I'm sitting in denial about the flaws that I have, I'm sitting in denial about experiences that I'm having, I'm not in control. What is in control is the events that I'm avoiding
Exactly.
accepting.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And that is a huge thing. And I think once we can reconcile what with, okay, this happened, or this is part of my identity, we now are in a position to move forward, to actually take action, right? Because, like, it's like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand and thinking, like, the world around it. Is that an ostrich? Do ostriches do that? I think I'm using the right word. I don't know. I think
I
ostriches.
disagree with you.
Well, anyway, it's like burying your head in the sand and acting like the world around us does not exist.
Exactly.
Acceptance is coming out of that hole, out of the darkness, and standing up in the sun and saying, this is reality, whether I like it or not. And now I have control of my reality rather than painting this utopia that we often paint. Or the extreme would be the doomsday experiences that we paint. But it then allows us to move on. So I love what you said around acceptance. When I talk about survival mode, I talk about three phases. I talk about awareness, self-awareness. We can't change what we can't see. I talk about reprogramming, addressing the narratives that we tell ourselves. And then the third step or third phase is the reinvention. And I think in relation to grief, the acceptance is that self-awareness, like coming to terms with our reality and then being able to rewrite, you talked about it, rewrite the stories that we're telling ourselves, right? Like, I oftentimes we say, well, I can't move forward, or I'm never going to be able to let go of this. Being able to reprogram that and stand in our power with that is, I think, instrumental. And then that last part is that reinvention. It's, I've lost this that means so much to me, but I am now this person. I have evolved into this person who is now carrying my grief, but carrying it with grace, with acceptance, almost with peace, and knowing that, there are ebbs and flows, right? Similar to grief that is healing. There isn't a destination where I've grieved or I'm healed. It's taking this journey along the ups and downs of life and being able to anchor into our self-awareness, be able to challenge the stories that we tell ourselves, and trusting that every day we can reinvent ourselves. Every day we get to choose who we are and how we operate in life, regardless of what we are currently dealing with.
Definitely. Because Letitia, I think that this whole process, this shift, it begins with pausing. You have to pause, give yourself time, slow down to notice how am I feeling? What am I avoiding? What's my body trying to tell me? These are the little questions that we can begin ourselves, sorry, asking ourselves. And the thing is that you have to start feeling safe from within yourself, inside yourself. And even if I talk about grief makes a lot of people feel unsafe, they start questioning everything, even their own existence also, especially after losing someone. So give yourself time, one step at a time. Take it slow. There is no timeline. And one other thing is that, as we know, that survival mode, it thrives in control. We're going to stay in control. So for that to shift, it means releasing the need to do everything right, like to do grief right, let's just say. So when you're grieving, you can allow yourself to be messy, to not know. So that is when healing will begin to feel more real and the process will start. And then you will come to a stage where you will let people in your circle, like selective people, whether they're your friend, your therapist, your coach. And then you can, talk about stuff that's hard for you because, well, you don't have to do it all alone. This is also a fact. And then you can keep asking yourself that, am I present? How am I doing? These daily check-ins, they help you shift. So being present in the moment, grounding yourself. So these are all the little steps that, people can take to take charge of their life in a better way.
I agree with you. I
Yeah.
agree with you wholeheartedly.
I think that we shift by meeting ourselves where we are over and over as many times as we want. Yeah, that's it.
That's a great point. Meeting ourselves where we are, right? And a lot of times, even in the healing process, our denial is that reality. We want to hold on to something, the person we were 10 years ago. We want to hold on to the person that we were before someone died or we had this loss. We want to hold on to the person that we were prior to trauma. And the reality is, these events shift us. These events change us. And when we can own who we are today, that is a massive step in the healing process and moving forward. Mayor, I have enjoyed this conversation. Tell us a little
Likewise.
bit more about how you work with clients and how we can find you online.
Yeah, definitely, Leticia. People can reach me out through my website, griefcoachingwithmeher.com, or they can send me a message on my Facebook, meher.sayed, or my Instagram, griefcoach_meher. So I always respond, send me a DM, and yeah, I also have a YouTube channel by the name of Grief Talk, where I invite people, guests who want to talk about their experience regarding grief or anything else that has been heavy, they've felt something that they've been carrying, they want to talk about. So that's also my YouTube channel, Grief Talk.
Okay. Well, all of that information will be in the show notes. So before we wrap it all up today, one key takeaway for the audience.
Leticia, I love when someone asks this, and I always have one answer to give, and I'm going to repeat it this time also, and as many times. Always prioritize yourself. Wherever you are in your grieving process, wherever you are in your life, please prioritize yourself. Because if you're not doing good, it wouldn't be good for any of the others, So think about yourself first. Think about your own betterment, what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. Have some me time, you all. Please, please. That's extremely important.
For some of us, learning how to prioritize ourselves is a learning lesson. But again, I echo this. They tell us on every commercial flight, do not put a mask on anybody
Yeah,
else before you put it on yourself. And that is exactly what was saying here. You cannot help others if you can't help yourself. So,
exactly.
Mayor, thank you so much for your time. Audience, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And I just want to remind you were not built to break. But you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open. on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth, you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Subscribe and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.